Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. For years, Native American women have been working tirelessly to raise awareness about the epidemic of murdered and missing Indigenous women in the U.S. At the women's marches in January, Native Americans and their allies wore red to spotlight this issue. Here are a couple of sobering statistics. 84% of Native women experience violence in their lifetimes. This is according to a 2016 National Institute of Justice report. On some reservations, Native women are murdered at more than 10 times the national average. This is according to an extensive report from Indian Country Today and Rewire News. And this one might be the most shocking. Murder is the third leading cause of death for Native American and Alaska Native women and girls ages 10 to 24. That's according to 2016 data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, even though we have these statistics and this data, there is still no centralized database keeping track of missing and murdered Indigenous women. So what will it take for the United States to acknowledge this epidemic and to actually do something about it? Today, we are joined by Amanda Takes Warbonnet. She's the public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains, a coalition of Native programs offering services to women who experience violence. Amanda works with tribes in southern Minnesota, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska, and she's a former managing editor of Indian Country Today. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Amanda, these statistics are so sobering. It's hard to even kind of wrap your head around these. This issue is starting to get a lot more national attention in the mainstream media. How do you talk about this issue for people who don't know much about it?
Well, awareness is a really key piece to working to get those statistics and to look at them. And when we talk about awareness, it's just not about awareness on the national level. It's awareness in our grassroots also, in our tribal communities, and that's where a lot of awareness must be done. And also the awareness must be done to our legislators, our lawmakers, our policymakers, the institutions that have a key role in this. So it's really important that we move that awareness through. And it's just really great to see that awareness that's happening in this last couple of years with missing and murdered Indigenous women. And our coalition, we have a membership of 25 tribes that we work with, and that's a piece that we do, is to promote that awareness to them. And what can we do to help create protocols in our grassroots tribal communities that creates that awareness to our families and to our women and to our girls, you know, the dangers, why it's like this, what we need to do, and to do that other step on creating that awareness in the national media and in the mainstream media.
Amanda Takes Warbonnet is the public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains. And now I would like to welcome Jonelle Romero to the show. Jonelle is founder of the Red Nation Film Festival, Native Women in Film and Television, Red Nation Television Network, and the Red Nation Celebration Institute, the longest standing Native arts and cultural nonprofit organization in Los Angeles. Jonelle is the only Native filmmaker to be shortlisted for an Oscar. The short is called American Holocaust. When it's all over, I'll still be Indian. You can watch that online. She's also the only actress to star in the first contemporary Native women's story ever produced, The Girl Called Hatter Fox. Hi, Jonelle. Welcome to the show. Do we have Jonelle? All right, we're having some problems with her line, but we'll have her in just a couple of minutes. Amanda, can we also talk about, you know, making sense of these numbers? Because the one criticism I have of some of these articles is that, and these are articles written by non-Native women, I should say, There's a number of statistics. 84% of Native women experience violence in their lifetimes. On some reservations, Native women are murdered at more than 10 times the national average. Murder is the third leading cause of death for Native American and Alaska Native women and girls. But these articles don't go into why this is happening, you know, the details around this, the legalities around this. So can you go into some of the information, the background information about, you know, giving these numbers some context?
Well, I think, like I said before, you know, the awareness is there. It has, and it's good to see it out there, but this is something that's been going on for, you know, hundreds of years. It's part of the colonization. It's part of genocide. It's racism left over from years of genocide. You know, at one point in history, there was a push to kill us. You know, there's a Cheyenne proverb that I want to share that that I see a lot, you know, that we use. And a nation is not conquered until the hearts of its women are on the ground. Then it is finished, no matter how brave its warriors or how strong its weapons. And so, you know, that kind of just tells it how that relates back to how it has been in history, that it's always been there. My ancestral grandmas have went through this, you know. Racism has always been a tool of war, whether it's in the subconscious mind or the conscious mind. And when we talk about the violence against Native women and, you know, the murders and the sexual violence and what happened to us in history, you know, that's a part of the focus of that. So it's really great to see that, you know, that there's some awareness going on. But the real awareness, too, needs to be in our grassroots level. And in our grassroots level, we have such a thick layer of silence, you know. And it relates back to our sovereignty issues. It relates back to jurisdictional issues. It relates back to those things that play into it. So, yes, those statistics are high, but they've always been there.
Right.
And it all leads back to history.
And adding to that history, Ruth Hopkins, a Dakota Lakota Sioux writer, had a piece in Teen Vogue about missing and murdered Indigenous women. And she writes, along with European colonization came patriarchy and the genocide of Indigenous peoples, and the desecration of Native women's bodies coincided with the conquest of Native lands as they were massacred by the U.S. cavalry and raped in their prison camps. Colonial governments forcibly sterilized thousands of Native women for decades. She goes on to say that the federal government's policy of termination against tribes lasted from 1887 to 1943. Native people were stripped of their cultures, languages, ancestral instructions, and expected to adopt the way of the colonizer. You know, and this is one thing I was struggling with doing research about this, Amanda. I mean, I've been reading a lot of books about Native history, and, you know, on one hand, you look at what this country, this government has done to Indigenous peoples throughout history. And then you're calling for the government to acknowledge this and do something about it. Can you talk about how you deal with those two issues?
Well, it all relates back to what I was saying earlier about sovereignty. And as tribes, we do have our sovereignty. But at the same time, you know, a lot of our funding comes from the government. A lot of our jurisdiction comes from what is enacted through Congress for what we can do and what we can't do. And then we struggle with our own court systems, you know, not having enough funding, the whole funding issue, even down to, you know, doing more work in our grassroots community. When we're already, you know, struggling in our communities with poverty and the economy, then they're the ones that make the legislation. They're the ones that do the policies. So we're looking at, you know, so then when we say that, we're looking, can we have more funding? It all relates back to that, you know, how the government oversees our tribal communities.
Amanda Takes Warbonnet is public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains. a coalition of Native programs offering services to women who experience violence. And hopefully now we have connected with Janelle Romero. Janelle, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, great. Sorry about those technical problems.
It happens. It's rock and roll.
Yes, that's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Janelle does amazing work in film and television, working to raise awareness about films about Native women, made by Native women, and her history is really incredible. You can find more information about her at yourcallradio.org, and also make sure to check out American Holocaust. When it's all over, I'll still be Indian. Her film was shortlisted for an Oscar, the only Native filmmaker to be shortlisted. Janelle, we were talking with Amanda Takes Warbonnet just about the statistics, because now the issue around murdered and missing Indigenous women is getting more national attention. People wore red to the women's marches to raise awareness about it. But when you read these statistics, they're just so intense and overwhelming. How do you talk to people who don't know much about this issue?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of some history for your viewers and everybody out there. First, I want to thank you for inviting me to be on this very important initiative and topic. Being survivor of sexual assault myself, I was kidnapped and held hostage for over a week. And through the grace of our Creator, these men let me go. I was drugged, and it was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell my story and speak for the ones who can't. Not one more stolen sister is one of our main missions. January 7th, I was watching the Golden Globes, and I really respect the women that created the hashtag #WhyWeWearBlack. And that night, I called some of our board members and some of my friends, and we hashtagged #WhyWeWearRed. And we created this global initiative to bring global attention to, well, let me say this first, is to the murdered and missing women, to our violence against women, climate justice, human trafficking, and the lack of inclusion in film and television. Mm. And the foundation of this is a bigger picture, I believe, a way that Why We Wear Red can help bring this to a global attention is this. Being in this film industry for 40 plus years, it's all I know is the film industry. And, you know, it's been a journey. And 15 years ago, primetime networks like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox have completely written us out of the narrative. So America has not seen a Native actress on episodic television for 15 years. Mm. So we've been completely written out of the narrative. And because of that, we created Why We Wear Red. We believe, we believe that if Native women are not seen in media, then who cares? Hmm. You know, it's like we don't exist. We're not present. So no one's going to say anything if we kidnap them. No one's going to be looking for them. You know, if they're murdered, no one's going to care. I mean, look where we're at today. It's taken centuries to bring this to this point in time in 2018. April, what is it, the 18th? 19th, 2018, to bring it to this point where we're on radio talking about this. I know that you gave some statistics and data. You know, when we created Why We Wear Red, we also created a National Native Women's Media Coalition. And the organizations that we work with are phenomenal, and more keep coming on board as the days move forward. The organizations are Native Women in Film, National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, International Indian Treaty Council, and I'm going to ask my friend right here because I'm so dyslexic. How do you pronounce this?
Oh, rematriation.
Rematriation magazine, and that's from the Iroquois Nation, and there's more coming on board. And with this media coalition, we will be able to address the media.
Hmm.
On a global scale, in regards to not only the lack of inclusion in film and television, but to get the statistics, to get the government involved, to get the police involved, to get human beings involved, and for these families to have closures. There's so many missing Native Indigenous women globally. There's and the ones that have been murdered, my God, their families need closure. Their families need, these are cold cases. And I feel that moving forward, there's so many possibilities. One possibility to bring this to a global attention is our Red Nation Film Festival partnered with the Audience Awards in doing a groundbreaking initiative, a film challenge on why we wear red.
Hmm.
And we've put it out there for our communities to make a short, 7 minutes or under, on these different topics so that we can have film on this. The magazine that we're associated with from the Iroquois Nation, they made a first film on this, and it's gorgeous, and you can watch it on our social media sites and our site, Native Women in Film and Television.com. So there is movement. There's so many. I'm so excited to, I don't even know if that's the right word here, but there's so many people working, and I would like to acknowledge them to bring global attention to our women. There's the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. There's CBS News looked into 34 cases across Canada which involved the death or disappearance of Indigenous women. The Silent Warriors, along with the BCC students, unsolved murders in and around Blackfeet Country. The Red Dress Project is based in Canada and is a public art of Aboriginal women known to be missing and murdered. Families of Ancestors in Spirit, a Natives Women's Association of Canada, the National Coalition of Stolen Sisters. Theda Newbreast is on our Native Women in Film Board, as well as Native Wellness Institute. And there's another young student who has done an incredible amount of research, Anita, and forgive me, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but it's L-U-C-C-H-E-S-I, and she's done extraordinary work. And the list goes on. I mean, this is definitely, our women have always been the leaders. We're the life givers, we're the nurturers of our communities, of our families. And it's time. Time's up.
Hmm.
Time's up. And you cannot get rid of us. We're here. We're here, and we're here to stay. And our ancestors are with us. Our ancestors are walking with us and holding us up.
Janelle Romero is founder of the Red Nation Film Festival, Native Women in Film and Television, the Red Nation TV Network, and the Red Nation Celebration Institute. Janelle is a survivor of sexual assault in 1980. She was kidnapped and held hostage for over a week, and she's here to tell her story and speak for the women who can't. And Janelle and so many other people have a hashtag, #WhyWeWearRed, to raise awareness about the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women. We're also joined today by Amanda Takes Warbonnet, public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains, a coalition of programs offering services to women who experience violence. Amanda works with 25 tribes in southern Minnesota, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. And if you have any questions or comments for Janelle or Amanda, We'd love to hear from you. If you went to the women's marches, you probably saw women wearing red to raise awareness about this. There's now a lot more national attention. As Amanda said, it's really important to raise awareness at the grassroots because that's where the action happens. But what questions do you have? Have you heard about this? Do you have any, what are your thoughts about resources? It's just, when you think about the history of this country and the fact that, you know, we're now asking the United States government to acknowledge this problem and to keep some kind of database. We have various statistics from different organizations and government outlets, but there's still no centralized database keeping track of missing and murdered Indigenous women. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. And if you are Indigenous and you or someone you know has experienced violence or has gone missing and you'd like to tell their story or your story, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about some of these stories, because thanks to social media, names are being shared, stories are being shared. And Amanda, you have been working to raise awareness of specific missing and murdered Indigenous women through a project that remembers individuals with miniature traditional dresses. And then there are specific characteristics added, like tributes to the individual, for example. As you're working on these memorials, what are you learning about these specific women? What stands out for you?
Well, I think it's the, in doing events or, you know, with the miniature dresses, it's telling the story not just about one, but, you know, it's in relation to telling the story of hundreds of women who go missing or that are murdered. And when we look at these dresses, we're reminded that, you know, they represent this woman, and they represent her family and the hurts the families went through and their children, and you know, the trauma that goes with that, you know, it hurts not only the family, but it hurts in our community, it hurts our education system, it hurts our economic values, because women are the backbone of our communities. And so when we look at these dresses, that's what we're trying to push across, is that she's gone. You know, there is one young woman in my area that has been missing for the last year, and she's gone. A beautiful young Lakota woman. Her name is Laressa Lonehill, and she has not been found yet. You know, we don't know very, you know, the law enforcement, and it really hurts to see her family, her mother, the daughter she left behind. And so that's the key issue in doing this, is to create that this is them, this is their characters. They are a mother, they are a sister, they are a daughter.
Mm. Janelle, on your website and Facebook page, you're publishing information about women, one name a day, to remember specific examples. And, I mean, there are many horrific examples on your website. As you've been doing this, what stands out for you?
Well, I'd like to give the resource of where, well, one of the main resources of this data is coming from the student that I mentioned earlier, Anita, L-U-C-C-H-E-S-I. Forgive me, I'm very dyslexic.
Lucchesi.
Pardon me?
It's Lucchesi?
Lucchesi. Anita Lucchesi, mm-hmm. is one of, she took it upon herself 3 years ago to do this as a school college thing. And so she's created all this data, but there's also, we have been adding on to that data, and as well as the other organizations that we work with. So there, one of our murdered women in the industry was Mitzi Upham, and she was very, very talented, young, gorgeous Blackfeet from the Blackfeet Nation, and she was murdered on my birthday, October 5th. I work very closely with her family, her dad, Charles, and her mother. And so this is another, very disturbing relation to have one of our own murdered, not only from our communities, but from our film industry. We have someone, a young woman, who is missing, and they're doing everything they can to find her. Ashley, heavy runner. And she's been missing since June 5th of 2017. And they're doing everything they can, from my understanding, to her family, to the law enforcement, to find her. And these names, these missing women, and this database, if you go to our site, you can see the names being posted. You can also go on Facebook social media and look at Theda Newbreast's site, Facebook page. She also has these posted, and she's asking that everybody please share and share these names. One, for that we find our women that are missing, and two, to acknowledge the ones that have been murdered, and to say their names out loud, so that we remember them. Because these are the women now that are standing with us as we do this work, as we move forward, as we bring attention. These Native women, Indigenous women that have been murdered, are with us. Their stories are carried through everything we do, and it's going to take all of us, all these organizations, all the Native women, all of our grassroots relations, the media. The primetime television, by including us in the narrative, it's going to take all of that to stop this hate crimes, these murders, and these kidnaps.
Janelle Romero is a longtime filmmaker and is working tirelessly to raise awareness about murdered and missing Indigenous women. She's the founder of many organizations, including the Red Nation Film Festival and the Red Nation Television Network, Red Nation Celebration Institute. Amanda Takes Warbonnet is the public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains, working in states including Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Nebraska. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are talking about the epidemic of murdered and missing Indigenous women in the United States. And if you'd like to join us, you can email yourcall@kalw.org or give us a call, 866-798-8255. Today we're joined by Amanda Takes Warbonnet, public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains, Janelle Romero, a longtime activist and filmmaker. She's the founder of many organizations, including the Red Nation Film Fest. She's also a survivor of sexual assault. In 1980, she was kidnapped and held hostage for over a week. Luckily, she got away, and she's here to tell her story and speak for those who can't. Let's talk about some of the factors involved around this issue. Ruth Hopkins, the Dakota Lakota Sioux writer that I quoted earlier, who wrote a piece about this in Teen Vogue, points out that sexual predators evade detection and prosecution because of federal laws that prohibit tribes from arresting and punishing non-Native offenders on tribal land. And then federal states' attorneys lack resources, funding. They might not pursue cases in Indian country. In states like California and Minnesota, state governments have taken over criminal jurisdiction on tribal lands within their borders, which further complicates things. And then communication between families of victims and survivors and law enforcement agencies is muddled and complex. Amanda, what would you add to that?
Hello?
Amanda?
Yes?
Go ahead. What would you add to that? Can you talk about some of the legal reasons why this happens?
It just goes back to sovereignty and the jurisdictional issues and the funding. And funding there's a big issue there with who has jurisdiction, and in a conversation with a tribal police officer, that was his main thing he said when they had a case. It was besides the lack of resources, besides the lack of officers to help with the case, then the issue was who has jurisdiction, and how important are we to who has jurisdiction? Mm. And so when we were talking about the data, the collection of the data, and even to the fact that, you know, the federal and federal law enforcement and how they treat the data and their lack of ways to go after these cases and look at these cases, and so there's a wide gap there.
Hmm.
There's a wide gap there between the federal and the tribal.
And Janelle, what's incredible about this is there are things happening at the state level, but it seems like they're just baby steps. For example, in The Stranger, they report that there's a bill in the Washington State Senate, and if it passes, it would direct the Washington State Patrol to work with tribes and the governor's Office of Indian Affairs to generate a report to identify the problem and address it by June of next year. And then in Minnesota, where natives make up 1% of the population, there's about 28,000 Native women and girls in Minnesota, the same kind of thing. They're working to pass a bill that would create some sort of task force on missing and murdered Native American women in Minnesota. I mean, at least something's being done. But what are your thoughts about states? Are 50 states going to have to pass bills? And then, you know, what will it take to get some sort of federal legislation to deal with this?
Hashtag why we wear red. Media. Being in this industry for 40 plus years, okay, baby steps don't work.
Yeah.
We're done with the baby steps. I don't even want to hear that anymore. Baby steps. You know, when someone says, oh, well, you know, we'll, an example, we will, hire a Native writer on a primetime network, and they can write about one of the lead non-Native characters wearing an Indian beaded vest. That's a baby step for them. We're done. Hashtag why we wear red. It's about bringing this to the media. The more we're in the media, the more they will have to take a giant step forward to time's up. We don't have time. Our women are being murdered. Our women are being kidnapped. Our children are committing suicide. We don't have time for baby steps. I don't have time to wait for the government. When I, you know, an example, when we first launched 23 years ago, Red Nation Celebration Institute, I didn't wait for the industry. Our board of directors, we didn't wait for something to happen. We didn't wait for them to take a baby step. We just keep moving forward, no matter what. I truly believe that the work that I've done, you know, just my little bit, tiny sand in the big sandbox, you know, we don't have time to wait. Time's up. We're here, and we're speaking out.
To your point about media, Janelle, let's talk more about this, because as you point out, to date, there have only been 5 contemporary American Indian women stories ever produced in film history in the United States, where an American Indian woman carried the whole film. And because I work in media, I pay very close attention to this. Native Americans are missing from almost every press release I receive when it's about a study about whatever, housing, education, colleges. It's blacks, Asians, Latinos. Native Americans are missing, I will say, 90% of the time. The New York Times in around Thanksgiving asked something like 9 writers to write about Thanksgiving. Guess who was missing? The obvious writer, a Native American writer. They didn't even think of asking a Native American to write about what Thanksgiving means. You know, media outlets do studies. How many people of color do we have working in the newsroom? Native Americans are almost always missing. The New York Times just came out with a study. Native Americans are not on it. NPR just added Native Americans 2 years ago. And of course, the numbers are dismal. And then when you talk about conversations about immigration, you hear this is a country of immigrants all the time. You hear about the founders. You know, you don't hear about the true history of this country in the national dialogue. So what you're saying is so important. And I feel like it's almost in some ways getting worse because there's all this conversation about immigration, which, of course, we need to have that conversation. But you always hear that this is a country of immigrants. How do you think that affects how do you think that affects people's perception about Native Americans?
Well, one thing I know for sure, our youth on the reserves and in urban communities, they don't see themselves. So you have to ask yourself, just being a human being here on Mother Earth, if our children are not seeing themselves represented in a positive way, what does that tell them? They don't matter. Doesn't matter. If we in media, if we don't see our women in roles playing mothers, judge, a lawyer, you know, a nurse, what does that say to the world? We don't exist. So that's why we wear red is critical and urgent and so important. We need radio like you, Rose. I so appreciate you wanting to do this show and including us in this narrative, because it's going to take all media, and KPFK for having me come in and being able to facilitate this. You know, it's going to take all of us. And we can do it now. We don't have to take baby steps. You know, Joe Biden did a great thing. You know, he did the Violence Against Women's Act, and then the Native Women Violence Against Women's Act was accomplished too, and that's a little bit in jeopardy, from what I understand. So, you know, it's going to just take all of us to push this forward, and in media. So I'd like to put out there for anyone to get in contact with us. We're very accessible, and any Native organizations or grassroots sisters out there that want to help, we welcome you to come on board and help. You know, it's to me personally, being a survivor, we have to do this now.
Amanda,
the time is now. The time's up.
You work with 25 tribes in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wyoming. What do you hear from young natives about how they are portrayed in the media?
I think it's really exciting to young natives when they get to be a part of it, or when they get to do something with it. Even if it's on their own devices. So, you know, just being out there, whether it's, you know, it's really important to them when they're just out there, whether they're YouTubing or whatever they're doing, social media or whatever. So
It is, and we need that more in our grassroots level. We need that more. We need that more to in our schools to say, you know, this is an opportunity. This is a career. This is something you can do. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to do things. Don't be afraid of your Indianness. That you can get out there and do things. And that's really important to me. You know, working in the media and newspaper business for so long that I did. But to see that, and that's always exciting. You know, and there's just not enough opportunity for them. You know, we have it in our large urban areas. We have it in the cities. But back home in the grassroots, you know, we need to see that more so that they know that they can get out there and do things. And they need that. Even our tribal colleges, they don't have those career tracks, you know. So that's really important. And so they could let mainstream media know what they're about and what it's about. And I wanted to mention the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition out of Minnesota. They did a study called The Garden of Truth, where they interviewed a lot of Native women that were involved in sex trafficking. And what really, what I really saw in that was not only, you know, the stories and the interviews, but what men think of Native women, what non-Indian men think of Native women. Because in that Garden of Truth, it's on their website, but in that Garden of Truth, and they talk about what the Johns thought of them, you know. Quotes like, "We thought we killed you a long time ago. Oh. I want you to act like Pocahontas." You know, those types of stereotypes are out there. So it's really important that we do get our young people into that. And when you were mentioning states, also I wanted to mention, you know, Heidi out of Senator Heidi Hunnicutt out of North Dakota, she has done a lot of awareness, pushing in Congress this awareness on the violence against Native women. She has done quite a bit of projects, even Savannah's Act that she's trying to get through, where we'll improve federal crime database collections and creation of standard protocols, not only on the federal level, but we need that also in our tribal community level. Yeah. And then Anita Lou Casey, her URL address is www.mmiwdatabase.com. And it's really extensive. She has over 2,000 names in there from women in the United States. And she made a lot of calls to law enforcement to ask about how these cases are going, how they went. So there's information that she has there. They're not on the site, but it's the site that you can go to reach out to her and say, "I want my loved one on this site."
You know, addressing that, I wanted to share this, that, you know, years ago, there was a very well-known film producer, and we were at a gathering, and he came up to me, and he asked me out on a date, and, you know, I was attracted to him. He was handsome. I went on the date, and as we were in the car, he said, "You know why I asked you out?" And my heart just started pounding really fast. It was like, and he goes, "Because I wanted to see what it was like to sleep with a Native woman." Mm. So, you know, when you ask how people see us, you know, that's a really important question. Mm. And I'm gonna look at this Garden of Truth. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Mm. Well, and how did you respond to that?
I was a little bit scared because of my history, so I asked him to take me home, and I was appalled, and I was, you know, very young, and, you know, it was disgusting. Mm. It was horrible.
To that point, Lauren Chief Elk has a piece called "How the Media Fail Indigenous Communities," and she writes that many news articles and missing people's organizations cite Indigenous women as white or Latino. Even in death, Indigenous women are being erased. So, I mean, Janelle, there's another problem. And
what?
Then there are other, you know, articles about how Indigenous women get covered or presented as runaways, sex workers, drug addicts, always portrayed in a very negative light.
Well, you know what? I have a thing about the word Latino or Latina, because that's a made-up word. Behind that word, because, see, they like to just keep us all in boxes so none of us are communicating. But behind that word, you know, it's like, I'll give you another example. It's like, what is your bloodline is mm-hmm. what I'm getting at behind that word. Like if people say, oh, you're Mexican, that's not a bloodline. But people pose it like that's a bloodline. You know, Mexican is native. You know, there's our brothers and sisters in Mexico. That's why We Wear Red is a global campaign. It's you know, Latina is a made-up word. That doesn't address your bloodline. So when you really get down to the nitty-gritty and you really look at it, it's native and indigenous. Hmm. And at the end of the day, we have the numbers. At the end of the day, we have the numbers right now. And that's the narrative we need to continue to push forward. Because in regards to the government and the film industry and this and that, at the end of the day, it's about money to them. Well, then they talk about numbers, and you're speaking about, you know, these reports and this data reports and these research and articles and such. Well, at the end of the day, we have the numbers. Period. If you really want to get into it, if you really want to speak the truth of the matter.
For people who are listening, what would you say is the most effective thing they can do to spread awareness about this issue?
Well, I know that I have continued doing what you're doing, number one. You know, all the social media, radio shows, however you could get in the media. And I know for Why We Wear Red, there's things that you can do. And is that we've asked everyone when we launched this on January 7th to put on their hand hashtag Why We Wear Red and send their photo in to us. And we have, God, we have so many photos listed on our site, from council members to grassroots to celebrities to politicians. So as this initiative, this campaign grows, every day we get different individuals doing this, putting the hashtag Why We Wear Red. Another thing you can do is, you know, reach out to us, get involved, be a part of the solution. Also, another thing that you can do is join the Native Women in Film and Audience Awards Film Challenge. Submit your film. Go on the site. Check it out. Get involved that way if you're creative. And get in touch with us. You know, there's so many ways to get involved in filmmaking. We have a Native Youth Matter, If I Can See It, I Can Be It program that we've been working on the reservations and in urban communities for 23 years with our Native youth. We have a mentor program that's really gorgeous, and every year we bring in Native youth from all over inner city to reservation to help with our festival, and we give them the tools so that they can be a creative in their narrative, in their own narrative. There's film submissions happening right now for the Red Nation Film Festival. There's student film submissions for the festival. There's so many ways to get involved, including every organization that we mentioned here today. They would love to hear from you. They would love for you to get involved and be a part of the process. We don't have time to sit back and wait for someone to do it for us. That's a luxury, you know, that's just not happening. It's just not, you know, we need, time's up. And I'm so grateful for the climate that we're in now with our Me Too and our Time's Up movements, because we can come forward with our story and our stories are being heard and acknowledged.
And Amanda, what would you add? We have about a minute left.
Okay, I quickly, yes. I would say what people can do is their social media account. It just takes a click to share things that are important to us, the history, the problem with missing and murdered Indigenous women, just those simple things that are out there, to find them and put them on your accounts and share them. The other thing is to talk to your children. Talk to your children about the history of Native Americans and the issues that we have, and especially their sons, you know, the respect.
Yeah.
Amanda Takes Warbonnet is public education specialist at the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains. Find more information about the work she does at yourcallradio.org. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Janelle Romero is founder of a number of organizations, including the Red Nation Film Festival and the Red Nation Television Network. Janelle is a survivor of sexual assault. She was kidnapped, held hostage for over a week in 1980, and luckily escaped. She's the only Native filmmaker to be shortlisted for an Oscar. You can watch her short, American Holocaust. When it's all over, I'll still be Indian. You can find it online. She's also the lone actress to star in the first contemporary Native women's story ever produced, The Girl Called Hatter Fox. And check out the hashtag #WhyWeWearRed. Janelle, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Rose. It was an honor.
Thank you.
And Laura.
Coming up tomorrow, we will focus on how the media covered the week's news. We're going to talk about House Speaker Paul Ryan retiring at the end of the year. We will discuss his role in passing tax cuts for the rich and corporations. He says it's his proudest moment in his 20-year career. How did Trump's presidency help him accomplish his agenda? And how are the media covering his record? We will also talk about the latest attacks on SNAP, which provides food assistance to more than 42 million people. Your Call is produced here at KALW. Check out our podcast, yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Laura Wenis for producing today's show. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thank you for joining us. It's Your Call.